بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we've been talking about لعلكم تتقون. It is the one and sole thing that allows an individual to develop a healthy relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Deen, are you upset with us? You're sitting right at the back on your own. It is what helps us to develop a healthy, beneficial relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so gracious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants His banda, His servant, His creation to have that healthy relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can shower upon him all the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows His creation very well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within this world vices that will entice this individual as a test. Understanding those vices needs knowledge and needs an understanding. It is only with this knowledge and with this understanding that the individual can protect himself or herself from these vices. If there were no vices, if there were no distractions, if there were no getting involved in things that are seemingly take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what would be the point of putting man in this world? So knowingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nevertheless still kept and made it easy for His creation. Over the 11 months prior to Ramadan and then 11 months after the month of Ramadan, what tends to happen is we pick up a lot of gunj and rubbish and our system gets blocked. We have a number of entry points. The eyes, they are an entry point. The ears are an entry point. The tongue is an entry point. Entry point to what? Either something that is beneficial and good or something that is harmful. And so over 11 months, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created as خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, man is weak. Man is weak. He falls prey to his nafs. He can be misled by shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this very well. So an accumulation of ganj over 11 months that clogs up the system and doesn't allow the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to develop. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan. Now someone may easily question this and say, well, you know, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, only in the month of Ramadan. Well, yes. It works in other times as well, through the 11 months. But the ganj and the dirt that is accumulated slows a person down, doesn't allow a person to function as an individual should. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all those obstacles that are going to come in your way in the month of Ramadan by chaining shaitan. When shaitan is chained up, the doors of Jannah are opened, the doors of Jahannam are shut, and then each deed is multiplied so many more times, up to 70 times. Not only are there incentives in the month of Ramadan, but also an opportunity arises. And it's this opportunity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that allows us initially to remove all the ganj and the dirt that is accumulated over 11 months. Just think about it. 11 months of ganj and dirt and rubbish accumulated, absolutely, completely washed out, cleaned out within the space of a month. And only who can do that?
Allah.
Who?
Allah.
That's better. So much so that, let's take an extreme example. Someone does the worst kind of heinous crime in the eyes of Allah. And then in the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, this person engages in the month of Ramadan as an individual should. By the time it comes to the end of the month of Ramadan, this individual is cleansed and purified in such a way that on the day of Eid, when he's returning home, he returns home as though he's a newborn. He is given a new lease of life. This individual is given a new lease of life. A life of iman, a life of deeds, a life of good. And then it's up to him what he does with it. Then again for 11 months Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves him. And then again he deteriorates over the coming months. He develops ganj. He accumulates ganj. He accumulates rubbish. And then all of a sudden the month of Ramadan again appears in front of him. And he thinks, you know what, I've been such a bad boy over the last 11 months. Let me do a little bit of good. Perpetually, when a person engages in the month of Ramadan through their lifetime, there is a gradual benefit every year. And I'm sure you've noticed this yourself, that from one Ramadan to next Ramadan, each of your Ramadan, there's a slight difference in you in the way you deal with the month of Ramadan. I'm not going to say right across the board everyone experiences that, but majority of us do. And the reason being is there is a development. There is a development in la'allakum tattaqun. So you people are people of the gadget. You're the millennials or millennium, whichever, or multimillionaires, whichever you want to. You're millionaires of technology. You thrive on technology. Give you the mobile phone and you're with it. Give you a tablet, you're with it. You give you a iPad, you're with it. Give you a PC, you're with it. Give you a laptop. You're the happiest person in the world. You keep using your device, and now it can be any device. Now, some of you sit here with a watch that talks to you, that looks at you, that tells you what to do. Your watch is now telling you what to do. Your watch is talking to you. I always used to think, you know, it's mentioned in the hadith, it's a lengthy hadith, but one bit in the hadith is the thigh talks. You see? So I always wondered, what does that mean? How can the thigh talk? When the mobile phone came on the scene and people started putting the mobile phone in the pockets, in the back pocket, in the front pocket, in the jacket pocket, I keep my mobile phone in my side pocket, but it still hangs by the thigh. I'm sure most of yours does. No, I don't think anybody keeps a mobile phone in their breast pocket, do they? No? This is my thinking, and then it occurred to me, that's my thigh talking. It's alerting me, there's a call. It's telling me, talk to somebody, it's telling me, you've got a message, it's telling me it's this, is telling me that. Anyway, so you keep using your device and you let information enter your device. Obviously, you're interacting with a net, with a service provider. And there's always things that are good for your device and things that are not good for your device. So if you want to secure your device, what are you going to do? If it's a PC or a laptop, you put up a firewall. And if it's a mobile phone and a device, or any device for that matter, what do? You put some kind of security on it. Why do you do that? You're protecting your device from gunj and rubbish accumulating on your device, because one of two things will happen. It will, well, definitely slow your device down and or totally corrupt your device. And what's going to happen? Someone out there is going to hack your device and steal all the information. Once you're hacked, then you lose your bank account, or you lose money from your account, you lose information from your email, so many things become compromised. Same with me and you. We are essentially a device. However, it's not an inanimate object. We are a microorganism. We are a living microorganism. But nevertheless, like a device, we have entry points. We let information in through our eyes by looking at something good. We look at the Kaaba, that's good. You look at the Ghair Mahram woman, that's bad. You're still, nevertheless, using your eyes, and they are functioning by letting information in, good or bad, then with your ears, you listen to somebody slander somebody, you listen to backbiting, you listen to lies, you listen to swears, you listen to songs, you listen to raps, all these things. What happens? You're letting information in through your ear. That's an entry point. And with your mouth, you talk. Misuse of the tongue is also an entry point to the heart. Now, when all this ganj is accumulated, if an individual applies a firewall and some sort of security in the 11 months, that individual is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to some degree. However, we all make mistakes. And so this is why the month of Ramadan is there for us to develop. And what did I say the other day? What was the word I used? What are you going to do? You're going to recalibrate your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what are you going to do? You're going to optimize your acts of worship so that you become a better banda. And your servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then becomes solid. Inshallah, with the help of Allah. Mubarak was solid. Mubarak was
solid.
Are you with me?
You,
or shall I repeat the story for you? And then I'll need another 10 days after that. So just let me carry on from where I am. Mubarak was what?
Solid.
He was solid in what? In his iman. In his understanding of the deen. In his appreciating the fact that he's got a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that he will have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day eventually. So what is he doing? He's protecting himself. He's protecting himself. He's securing himself. How do you secure yourself? How do you build a firewall around you? It's by being aware, being mindful, and having knowledge. These two things. You have knowledge, you apply it. When you apply it, you become mindful. So, he was very mindful. Mubarak was very mindful. So the master asked him, he says, I want you to marry my daughter. I've been looking for someone good. I've been looking for someone mindful. I've been looking for someone cautious. I've been looking for someone that is a muttaqi. So, he said, I'll give you an answer. So Mubarak said, the Jewish people marry for money. The Jewish people marry for money. He was an individual who had experience of life and had interacted with people at different levels. And he, of course, ultimately, he was quite wise. So he said that Jewish people marry for what?
Money.
Christians marry for beauty. Christians marry for?
Beauty.
For what? You like beauty, don't you? No? See, I can't see the smiles, but I can see the smile, if you know what I mean. You know, appreciation of beauty is something else. Why don't you go to the mountain and appreciate the mountain? Why don't you go into the jungle and appreciate those birds and those animals in the jungle? Appreciate the water and the flow of the water. Appreciate the sky and the sun and the moon and appreciate all these things. But unfortunately we don't. We get involved and this is unfortunately, I think I mentioned the other day, in Saudi Arabia now, they're encouraging women to enter, to have a Miss World thing, Miss Universe thing, Miss I don't know, Allah maaf kare. According to the people of the world, and when I say people of the world, I mean materially oriented people, the concept of beauty has been distorted totally. And unfortunately, me and you and then our women are very like that. They see these photos and they see these adverts. I want that. Or I want that handbag. Or I want those shoes. Or I want that dress. Or I want that jewelry. Because to some extent, we have all been brainwashed. The system that we live in brainwashes us. But what do we need to do? We need to break free of that system. And لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ allows you to do that. Are you with me?
Yes.
We're still in the month of Ramadan. We're still in the month of Ramadan. And it's all to do with لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Your ability to inculcate لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ is inherently embedded in you. Oh, you don't understand what I said. You have got the capability. You have got the capacity. It's you who fails yourself. Do you understand?
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed obstacles in this month. Why? So that it becomes easy. So that it becomes
easy.
How can an individual in the space of 1 month be propelled and pick up so much pace and speed that it allows this individual a smooth ride over the next 11 months? It does. Maybe not for me and you, but it does for some individuals, the pious, who have developed piety. So the concept of beauty is totally something else in our eyes. The person that implements the Quran and the Sunnah is the beautiful person. In terms of physical appearance, we don't look at physical appearance. We don't look at physical appearance. I'm not sure whether you may remember when Hazrat Shah Sahib came, he mentioned, is it his daddy or his mother? When they wanted her to get married, she said, I don't want any jahaz, all I want is a coffin. Who was it? You don't remember. It was either his daddy or his mother. At the time of marriage, so when a woman is getting married, they give dowry and mehr and some jahaz and stuff. And for jahaz, it's a gift that is given when the girl gets married and she leaves home. She took a coffin with her. And she would sleep with the coffin every day until she died. So Hazrat Shah Sahib's mother. Can you imagine the level of piety she had? And we're not going far back. This is within our era. You get people like that even now in this day and age. No attachment to the world. What must have the level of taqwa been for her? Me and you can't comprehend it. That the woman is getting married, she doesn't care about anything else. All she says is, give me a coffin, and she sleeps on that coffin day in, day out, and until she dies, and they use that same coffin that was her jahaz as her burial shroud. Now that's beauty. When a person has that element of taqwa in them, it makes them what? That's beautiful. Change your understanding of beauty. I know a lot of you need to get married, and you're probably looking at your future wife, but she needs to be. And I've spoken to people, our brothers have come to me, we want to get married. Say what? Well, you know, she's a bit like this and like that. Say, why do you look at that? I said, you know, look at this, look at that. Well, you know, it needs to be a little pleasing. And quite clearly, I'm quite straightforward and forthright in my conversation with people. And I say, what, you're looking for Miss World? And they start smiling, and you know what they want. So, change your understanding and the concept of beauty. Break away from the system that has indoctrinated you. So he, Mubarak, said the Christians marry for beauty. And then he said, Muslims marry for the deen. Muslims marry for the deen. Those that are unmarried, are you going to marry for the deen or beauty or money? Ask yourself that. If you're already looking for money and for beauty, you're definitely going wrong. Marry for the deen. A woman with a good heart is good. A woman with a good heart is good. Hazrat Maulana Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali, his wife used to serve with him in the Khanqa. Day in, day out, she would knead the dough and make roti for the murids. She would make the salan for the murids. This was in the beginning, when Hazrat had set up his Khanqa and that. And she would be there 24/7 with him, looking after the needs of the murids. And as I said to you the other day, she would be sometimes so busy that she wouldn't have time to bring food to Hazrat, and Hazrat would come and sit. He wouldn't ask for food. If it was provided, he'd eat. Otherwise, he'd leave. So what did Mubarak say? Mubarak said, the Jews get married for money, the Christians get married for beauty, and the Muslims get married for the deen. Is the deen first choice in your life? Everyone's quiet. We say superficially, yes, of course, the deen. And then when the time comes, well, she's got her nose is bent. What? It's true, no? That's what you do. The poor girl, she wants to get married, and now you think you're James Bond, so you want to go and take all the mistakes out of her. She is a creation of Allah. How do you know that girl with the bent nose isn't your angel in disguise? You don't know, do you? Shame on us that we've become indoctrinated to such a degree, to such an extent, that we think in such a ugly manner. Think as a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to develop and to inculcate taqwa. And inculcating taqwa doesn't mean just in certain branches. It means right across the board. Right across the board. So the master, hearing this reply from Mubarak, was even more perplexed and affected, and made him extremely happy that this individual is very wise. So what did he do? He went to his wife and he said, "We're going to get our daughter married." The decision the man makes, not the woman. Now, women listening at home will be like, "What? Don't we have a say?" No, the man decides. So, yes, of course, women have some say, but only so much. So he said, "Oh, we have to marry our daughter to him. He's everything we are looking for." Not expecting anything, the father of the girl, the master, he came to Mubarak, he said, "Here, did my daughter get married to her?" Now, why have I related this story to you is because they had a child. And that child became a muhaddis. And he became known as Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He became known as Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith. And his name now resounds, and his name is taken by all the Imams of Hadith. In so many narrations you will see that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi's name will appear. And so the child they had, they named Abdullah. And he became Abdullah ibn Mubarak. So when you have a father like that, you have a child like that. When you have a mother like that, you have a child like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all pious children.
Amen.
Inshallah, we'll do the Khatmi Khajgan. And hopefully we'll continue with La'allakum Tattakun tomorrow, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of you must be relieved that I've finished the story. Don't worry, it continues. So focus that we are going to recite Durood Sharif, the reward for Durood Sharif, and ultimately through Durood Sharif we come closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the ayat of the Quranic Kareem. They are a means of attracting and pulling. They act as a magnet for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowing us benefit. And the Khatm-e Khajgan is a very maqbool amal. Du'as are accepted at the end of the Khatm-e Khajgan. And of course, we will do some muraqabah. And muraqabah itself brings us close to our Creator. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد.
قوة إلا بالله صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. صلي على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
Thank you.
Close your eyes, focus upon your heart. Contemplate the mercy coming down upon the heart. And out of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mercy, the heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. Allahumma shalli wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad.